getting to know Jesus Christ. This particular text that I'm going to read to you, it takes us through several exchanges between Christ and those around him. He has gone to Jerusalem, and there in Jerusalem, he is going to go to the temple. He's going to teach at synagogues. There's much going on around him. And as I read this text, I want you to listen to the people because they're talking about Christ. They're talking amongst each other about Christ. They're seeking and searching and trying to figure out who he is. And do the leaders understand who he is? All of that is woven through this text. And it is a tremendous section of scripture for looking back into time and looking right into those people's lives. What's transpiring as they talk with one another? You know, in your drive to church this morning, as you and your husband and your kids or whatever the circumstances were, as you were coming in, maybe you were talking about church. Maybe you were talking about Christ. Maybe you're talking about God. Maybe you're talking about the problems that are going on in your life or politics. But that kind of is your discussion just between you and your car. Well, God actually takes us and he brings us right in there and we listen to what they're talking about. So listen as I read it to you. John chapter 7, I'm going to read to you verses 25 on down. And then I'm going to take us down through these verses and pull out, show you some of the discussion that takes place. So John chapter 7, verse 25, it says, "Then said some of them of Jerusalem," in other words, these people who live in Jerusalem, "is not this he whom they seek to kill? But lo, he speaketh boldly, and they say nothing unto him. Do the rulers know indeed that this is the very Christ? Howbeit we know this man whence he is. But when Christ cometh, no man knoweth whence he is." Then cried Jesus in the temple, as he taught, saying, "Ye both know me, and ye know whence I am. And I am not come of myself, but he that sent me is true, whom ye know not. But I know him, for I am from him, and he has sent me." Then they sought to take him, but no man laid hands on him, because his hour was not yet come. And many of the people believed on him and said, "When Christ cometh, will he do more miracles than these which this man hath done?" The Pharisees heard as the people murmured such things concerning him, and the Pharisees and the chief priests sent officers to take him. Then said Jesus unto them, "Yet a little while I am with you, and then I go unto him that sent me. Ye shall seek me, and shall not find me. And where I am, thither ye cannot come." Then said the Jews among themselves, "Whither will he go, that we shall not find him? Will he go unto the dispersed among the Gentiles and teach the Gentiles? What manner of saying is this that he said, 'Ye shall seek me and shall not find me, and where I am, thither ye cannot come'?" In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Many of the people, therefore, when they heard this saying, said, 'Of a truth, this is the prophet.' Others said, 'This is the Christ.' But some said, 'Shall Christ come out of Galilee? Hath not the scripture said that Christ cometh of the seed of David and out of the town of Bethlehem, where David is or was?' So there was a division among the people because of him. And some of them would have taken him, but no man laid hands on him." So interesting to listen to these people in Jerusalem talk as they interchange one with another as they discuss who Christ could be and what would make them think he might be the Christ, the anointed one, the Messiah. Some of them are saying, well, no, that can't be. And they're giving their reasons why they think it wouldn't be. And then you have others who are conspiring to take him, to kill him. But the Bible says, well, it was not yet his appointed time. So we get all this insight into these events taking place, and I'm going to bring you to three of the questions in this text. The first one I'm going to take you to is, it says, do the rulers know indeed that this is the very Christ? That was the question asked. The second question I'm going to take you to is, what manner of saying is this that he said? That's what they were asking amongst each other. What does this mean that Jesus Christ said? And the third I'm going to show you is, they asked the question, shall the Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one, shall he come from Galilee? We're going to look at that. So the first one I told you is in verse 26. Look with me at chapter 7, verse 26. It says, But lo, he speaketh boldly. And they said nothing unto him. Do the rulers know indeed that this is the very Christ? So the people are looking. They're seeing Jesus Christ walk the streets, the highways, the byways. He's going in and out of the neighborhoods. He's going up to the temple. He's standing up and speaking and crying out in the courtyard and telling people the truths that he has brought. And these folks are saying to themselves, how is this happening? Who comes to the temple and stands up and starts teaching and proclaiming truth, and nobody says anything? Nobody stops him. Nobody deals with this. Especially when we know, according to the verse 25, it says the people were saying to themselves, is not this he whom they seek to kill? So they're asking themselves, well, how is it they're looking to take him and kill him, but yet he so boldly is standing up and proclaiming what he believes to be truth and compelling people to come unto him? How can this possibly be that he is so bold and there is no reaction? Matthew 22, verse 46 says, and no man was able to answer him a word. Neither did any man from that day forth ask him any more questions. You see, they had gone ahead and tried to trick Christ with questions. They had tried to get him to blaspheme against God so they could arrest him and put him to death for that. They tried to go ahead and trick him with questions so that he would say something that the people would turn from him. But every time the Pharisees and Sadducees would ask questions, every time the lawyers, the scribes would ask questions, Christ would answer them most often with a question. And it would stump them concerning some biblical truth. So it tells us in Matthew, they stopped asking him questions. They stopped having an exchange with him because every time they were walking away defeated. So the people are saying, what is going on? That this Jesus Christ, this man, this is he the prophet? Is he the Messiah? Why isn't anybody stopping him? They're not even confronting him verbally anymore. When you look down at verse 27, it says, howbeit we know this man whence he is come. But when Christ cometh, no man knoweth whence he is. They're saying, oh, wait a minute. He can't really be the Christ because we know where he's come from. And they quote some obscure text out of the Old Testament that says that, well, we won't know where the Christ comes from. But yet farther down, you find other people saying, well, wait a minute, he can't be from Galilee because the Bible says he comes from Bethlehem. So they're jumping all over the Old Testament, trying to fit him in a peg, fit him in a hole, trying to make him fit an image, a picture, an understanding. They're searching, they're looking, they're seeking to know, who is this Jesus Christ? When you look down with me at verse 29, listen to what it says. It says, for I know him, for I am from him, and he hath sent me. That's what Jesus' response to them was. They're saying, could the Christ be from Galilee? We know who he is. We've seen him. We know his parents. His dad's a carpenter. You know, we know who this guy is. Can't be the Christ. And really, Christ's response to them is, you don't know me. I come from one that you don't know. Because they didn't know and walk with and have a relationship with God. They were all caught up in religion, but they had no relationship with God. And he tells them, he says, you don't know where I'm from. You don't know who has sent me, but I do, because I have come from him. When you come down to verse 31 in this section of Scripture, verse 31 says, and many of the people believed on him and said, when Christ cometh, will he do more miracles than these which this man has done? So even while some are disputing over here and talking over here and trying to kill him over there, others are saying, wait, look at the incredible miracles that he has done. Look at the way he's touched people's lives and transformed them, taking people who were blind who could now see, taking people with leprosy and made them whole. Look at the miracles that he's doing. People who have never walked in their entire life are getting up and leaping and jumping and rejoicing in God. And they simply say, could there be anybody else who would do greater miracles than these? It must be the Christ. It must be the Savior. It must be Messiah. You know, people still today are every bit as perplexed. They hear this, they hear that, they talk about this, they talk about that. The problem is they don't really know him. In order to know him, you have to know him. Amen? You might think you know somebody until you get to know somebody. Amen? That's kind of like the whole honeymoon stage in marriage, isn't it? You think you know them until after the I do, and then you get to know them. And then you have to decide, well, okay, what are we going to do with everything we know? Well, that's exactly what's taking place here. These people are seeking, searching, trying to understand. And they ask a very valid question. Do the rulers know that this is the Christ? And throughout the Gospels, you will find this very perplexing thing. Because there are many indications that some of them really do know. That they really are beginning to understand that Christ is the Messiah. But they have a problem. The problem is if they go ahead and recognize Jesus Christ as Christ, as Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, come to die for the sins of humankind, then they have to give up their authority and their power to Christ. And they're unwilling to do that. So they will fight against the very one that they say they've been looking and waiting and watching for. Because they don't want to humble themselves, yield themselves, submit themselves. That is an ongoing problem throughout humankind. That goes even before humanity. It goes all the way to Satan himself, who in heaven itself said, I'm not going to submit to God. I will be as the Most High. We find the sin, this sin, permeate all people. We have to look at Christ and we have to say, it doesn't matter to me who believes in him. I believe. I know. I have searched. I have looked. I have prayed. I have accepted. That's the key. See, they're asking, do the rulers know? Well, it doesn't matter if the rulers know. Do we know where he came from? Well, get to know him and find out. Let's look at the second question that's brought up in verse 36. Look with me down at verse 36, if you would. And these verses are verses 32 through 36 that kind of deal with this text. Verse 36 says, What manner of saying is this that he said, ye shall seek me and shall not find me, and where I am, you cannot come. So Christ puts out this little riddle for them. He says, right now I'm with you, but soon I'm going to be gone. And where I go, you will not know. You will not be able to find me, and you cannot come where I am. So he puts this riddle out there for these people in the midst of all the discussion, in the midst of their searching. Look with me again at verse 32 in our text. It says, the Pharisees heard that the people murmured such things concerning him. And the Pharisees and the chief priests sent officers to take him. They're hearing this teaching. They're hearing the parables that Christ is giving. They're hearing him quote out of Isaiah, quote out of the prophets of old. They're hearing him reference the sinfulness, the emptiness of religion, and the need for a Savior, a relationship with Christ, the Messiah. And these Pharisees, these religious leaders, these powerful people, they're so disturbed by this that they decide, let's take him. Let's arrest him. Verse 33 said, then said Jesus unto them, yet a little while I'm with you. And I don't know whether he said that to just go ahead and appease the Pharisees. Listen, I'm only going to be here a little longer. You think you're going to arrest me, take me? I'm only here for a little longer. Christ knew exactly what was coming. But then he tosses out this little riddle of, while yes, I'm only going to be here a little while longer, but then I'm going to be gone. And where I go, you cannot find me. And where I go, you cannot come. And so they begin amongst themselves and they start talking again. Listen to verse 35. Then said the Jews among themselves, where will he go that we shall not find him? Will he go unto the dispersed among the Gentiles and teach the Gentiles? It's a very interesting little piece of scripture, especially for you that are history buffs. Because when he makes that statement, he says here, will he go to the dispersed among the Gentiles? What he's referencing is the Roman Empire, when they would come and conquer areas, they would go ahead and gather people and they would spread them out across the empire. So there were people that were taken from the Judea area and spread out across the Roman Empire, spread out among the Gentiles. Gentiles were brought to that region by the Roman Empire. And so they said, well, where's he going to go? Is he going to go to the dispersed among the Gentiles? Is he going to go and teach the Jews that are spread out all through the Roman Empire? Is that what he's talking about? And for you and I who really know our Bibles, it's almost a little prophetic. Because the Bible says he came unto his own, and his own received him not. He came unto the Jews, and the Jews rejected him as Messiah. And he turned to the Gentiles. You and I in here. It's almost prophetic what these people are saying between each other as they're trying to sort it out, as they're trying to figure it out. You see, you and I, as believers, we have to search and seek. We've got to study. The Bible says, study to show yourself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. These folks struggled with, is this Jesus Christ? What manner of saying is this? What are these things he's teaching? What are these principles? What is this that he was going to come and die? They didn't want a Christ who was going to come and die. They wanted a Christ that was going to come and overthrow the Roman Empire and establish a kingdom. So they're searching and seeking with these questions. He confounded them. When you come down in verse 36, where you see them question it, what manner of saying is this that he said, ye shall seek me and shall not find me, and where I am, thither ye cannot come. Verse 37 says, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Christ is going to lead them right to the gospel. Because they're searching, they're seeking. Now, some of them don't want to know. They're going to close their eyes, their ears. They don't want to hear it. They don't want to understand it. The Pharisees, even if they do understand it, they don't want to understand it. They would rather kill him than face the reality that he is the Christ. So we come down to verse 37 through 44. Listen to verse 41 again, and we find the third question. Others said, "This is the Christ." But some said, "Shall Christ come out of Galilee?" So in your geography of the Holy Land, if you look at Israel, you look at the nation itself, you have Jerusalem down below, and then you have the Sea of Galilee up above to the right-hand side. Bethlehem is just south of Jerusalem, just a little ways. So these folks are now in Jerusalem, and they're saying, wait a minute. Can this be Christ? Didn't he come out of Galilee? In fact, didn't he come out of some little podunk town called Nazareth? But you know what? I said to you a minute ago, if you're going to know Jesus, you have to know Jesus. Because Jesus wasn't born in Galilee. And he wasn't born in some little podunk town called Nazareth. Where was Jesus born? Bethlehem. Bethlehem. So the only way they would know that is if they knew him. They know about him. Lots of religious talk, lots of discussion, lots of debate amongst one another, lots of supposition and assumption, but very little looking at the facts of Christ. And it wouldn't have been that hard. For one thing, Herod had put out a decree, a law, at the time of Christ's birth, that everybody had to go back to their father's community and there register for a taxation. The whole country of Israel had to do that. So it wasn't a secret. A little conversation, a little investigation, a little open-hearted, open-minded looking at the facts, and they would have known that he had not come from Galilee. He was born in Bethlehem. Just like the scriptures had said. Look with me, if you would, just a little below verse 41 there, verse 42. Hath not the scripture said that Christ cometh of the seed of David? Yes, that's right. The scripture prophesied that. In fact, out of the town of Bethlehem, where David was. Absolutely. So they asked the very question that's the answer. They said, well, didn't the Bible prophesy that the Messiah would be born of the line of David in the town of Bethlehem? Absolutely. Why don't you get to know Jesus so that you might know Jesus? And then you come down here just a little bit farther and you find them in this discussion where they're talking about Bethlehem and the line of David. Verse 43 says, so there was a division among the people because of him. And some of them would have taken him, but no man laid hands on him. When you look at this text, you understand that there are people who would rather kill him than get to know him. There are people who would rather put him to death than to find out, does he really meet the scriptures? Does he really fulfill the prophecies? Is he really who he says he is? Rather than put forth the energy and the effort to actually look at it and find out, they'd rather put him to death. And you and I, all these many years later, we go back and we look at these scriptures, and so many of them, we could have answered their questions easily, couldn't we? Because we know Jesus. They didn't. I ask you this morning, maybe you came to church this morning and you come with a bit of a doubter's mind, like so many in our text. There was a great division among the people. The doubter's mind does not take the time to check it out. It's easier to go ahead and argue and debate or reject or excuse. But it says some believed. In fact, it says many believed. We know the Apostle Paul was accused of turning the world upside down because people started coming to Christ, coming to conversion. It was changing communities. It was changing lives. And still today, around the world, Christ changes lives. Next Sunday, we're going to celebrate 50 years of Victory Baptist Church being here. 50 years of the teachings of Jesus Christ touching and changing lives in Addison County and beyond. A simple country church. What are we doing? We're doing just what Jesus did. We're bringing forth the truths of the Christ, the Savior. And we're showing that, yes, He did fulfill the Scriptures. Yes, He really was born in Bethlehem. It's a historical record. Yes, He is the Christ who died for your sins and mine, that we might accept that living water. Each and every one of us this morning, I ask you, do you have the open mind to look and receive, to look and accept, to embrace the truth? Or are you going to do like so many others and reject truth and embrace supposition? I challenge you this morning. Study to show yourself approved. Look and know and understand who Christ really is. Let's bow our heads. And as you bow your head, I told you the title of the message simply is Getting to Know Jesus Christ. But the real emphasis is on that word know. Because to know Him, you really have to know Him. And in order to know Him, you must accept Him. You accept Him into your heart and into your life. You embrace the salvation He paid for on the cross. And then through the transformation of our minds, the Bible says we accept His holy word and we let it change us and shape us and make us into the person, the people that God wants us to be. Father in heaven, as we come before You, as we bow our heads, Lord, I pray that it would be Your Holy Spirit. And our text tells us that's who Christ was referring to when He talked about the water. He's referring to the Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit, even right now, would flow forth amongst us, move within and through us, that we might better understand who our Christ is. And if there be one person here this morning who has never accepted Christ as their Savior, how I pray, Lord, that this morning would be the day. They lay aside the assumptions, the doubts, and they embrace the truth. I pray for Your Holy Spirit to work and move. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.